Parshas Vayishev starts off the following. Vayishev Yaakov Eretz Meguri, Ovin Eretz Canaan. Yaakov lived in the place where his father lived, in Eretz Canaan. And it goes into Yosef. Now, we understand that there was an issue between Yosef and Tzadik and the brothers. Yosef and Tzadik and the Shivtei Ka. There's a problem over here. But there's... You absolutely cannot say that it was a simple situation that went down between Yosef and the brothers. You cannot say there was just brotherly hatred, like one person hated the other, like one person said it to the other. It can't be that way. Very good. Yes, they all knew that there was Tuma within the others. They didn't realize that Yaakov was going to be different. They thought there's another Yisrael, there's another Esav, and they thought that there's Yosef. But even then, you have to sit there, you got to look at yourself, you got to say to yourself, wait, there's got to be something beyond the ordinary here. There's no way that this is a simple situation that it seems that Yosef HaTzadik told over Rosh Hashanah to the about the Shvatim. The Shvatim hated him and wanted to kill him. I mean, we're not talking about simple people here. This is, has to be beyond the ordinary. So the Maggid of Kushnitz says the following. Hashem wanted us to be in Mitzrayim. Wanted us to be in Mitzrayim. So to the point where the Shvatim had Ruach HaKodesh. The Ruach HaKodesh showed them that Yosef HaTzadik wasn't a tzaddik at all. Now, understand something about Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik was a person who, when he was in Mitzrayim, even though he was the only white guy among a bunch of people who were not the same color as him, he was Yosef HaTzadik? I mean, he's so Mediterranean.
Yeah.
He was not black, unlike Mitzrayim. Everybody else there looked different from him. He was able to show himself as if he was a Tameh person who was a king of Mitzrayim, to be as if he was them. Yosef HaTzadik's power was the fact that he was able to hide his tzidkus. He was an expert at being unbelievably great on the inside and not showing it on the outside. And the Shvatim, who normally would not be fooled by this because they had the ability to delve deeper, they were able to look at a person and be able to see deep down inside what kind of a person they were fooled to the point where their Ruach HaKodesh thought that they were looking at the real deal. That they were looking at Yosef HaTzadik and seeing just a person who spoke Lashon Hara. They thought they were looking at somebody who was not only a tzaddik, but a person who was almost on the level of a Rasha. But here's the issue. It's only after doing something that you can realize if you did it l'shem shamayim, if you did it for the right reasons or not. If after you do something, you feel like you did the right thing, you feel like that was good, then that means that you did it l'shem shamayim, you did it in the right way, that everything was all good. But if you feel bad, if something's wrong after you do it, I'm sorry? Delusional is a different story. We're talking about tzaddikim here. By a tzaddik, if a person feels bad afterward, if a person sits there and says, there's something wrong, there's something that I'm missing over here, I thought that I was doing it the right way, I did everything up until now in the perfect way. The Levush HaOra says the Levi went up to Shemayim and asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu what to do. Asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do. I mean, it's key. Like, we're talking about crazy people on crazy levels. But if afterward you feel that there's something wrong, you feel you're filled with harata, you feel bad about what you did, if you feel embarrassed about what you did, if you can't say straight out to Yaakov Inu, this is what we did, and there's reasons why they didn't go to Yaakov Inu beforehand. They couldn't go to Yaakov Inu. They felt that Yaakov Inu was no gala dover. They felt that he was bribed like Yitzchak Avinu was with Esau. They felt certain things about Yaakov Inu. They knew that. But afterward, they should, yes, he favored him. But afterward, they should have been able to go up to Yaakov and say straightforward to him, we sold Yosef, or we killed Yosef because he was a Rosh HaGomer. They should have been able to do that because they thought they were doing the right thing. They thought everything was perfectly fine. But they didn't. They felt bad. They felt worse. We're not going into the sale of why it happened or what happened. We're not going into that right now. That's for last year, for next year, whatever it is. That's not for right now. But after the fact, it's such a crazy deal. They come out of the sale. They did what they thought was 100% correct. They did what they thought was l'shem shamayim in the right way, and there's nothing else that they could have done. And they felt bad. They felt really, really bad about it. They couldn't figure out what it was. See, here's the simon. After selling Yosef HaTzadik, what do? Now, when they first put him into the pit, what do? They eat bread on top of the pit. They eat bread and they think everything's okay. Because that was a bit of a kapara, there's something there, okay, whatever it was. But after they sell him, they go back to Yosef, Yaakov Avinu, and they can't tell him anything. All they do is they take the Ksonis Pasim, they throw that multicolored dream technicolor coat, whatever you want to call it, they threw it in front of Yaakov Avinu, and they said, tell me, is this the Ksonis of your son or not? That's what Zidi Yaakov Avinu. They didn't say anything about, here's what we did. No, nothing at all. They didn't say we sold them down to Mitzrayim. They just said, here's the code. What do you think happened? And what did Yaakov Avinu say? Oyvei, Torov, Torav, Yosef. Yosef HaTzedek was destroyed by animals. And they didn't say a word. They didn't say anything. They tried consoling him. But they didn't say a word. They did not say they sold Yosef. They all felt bad. And hold on, I don't know if I'm right about this. I don't think Reuven ever knew what happened. I don't think Reuven ever knew. Because Reuven wasn't there at the time. They sold Yosef when Reuven was already gone. Binyamin had got it through Ruach HaKodesh. But the other Shvatim swore that they would never tell a soul what they did with
didn't
Yosef.
Did they notice though, that when he didn't die in the pit, that it wasn't meant to be?
That who?
Yosef.
They knew that he wasn't meant to be, but that doesn't mean that he wasn't supposed to be killed. That doesn't mean that he wasn't supposed to be with them.
The whole question was, they weren't able to see if he was solid or not, and when he wasn't hurt,
it's a great call. But Lamaisa, they held that there's something going on here. Do they have to kill him? Maybe they don't have to kill him, but they have to give him goals. There was something that the Shvatim paskin for Yosef HaTzedek, which again was an unbelievable level. And they felt good about throwing him in the pit. They didn't feel good after the sale. Something was wrong after the sale. And it looks like they never told a soul afterward. It doesn't look like Reuven ever knew. Reuven goes afterward, he looks and he says, where am I going to go? Ana Aniva, where am I going to go? Where am I going to search for him? Because the Shvatim couldn't tell him what they did. Because they made a shvua together. It looks like Reuven never knew. Such a crazy line. Unless I'm wrong about that. It looks like Reuven never knew.
Was Binyamin there?
Binyamin was not there. Binyamin got it through Ruach HaKodesh.
So then they needed 10 people in order to make that.
Yosef HaTzedek was the 10. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the 10. It was one of those.
That means that one of the brothers are missing.
That either Yosef HaTzedek was the 10th or HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the 10th.
No, but if
you have 12, Yosef, Reuven, and Binyamin. That's 9. So you have 9, and either Yosef HaTzedek is the 10th or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the 10th. So it still works out well. You're just missing, you don't have Reuven and you don't have Binyamin, but the other ones are all there. It's just such an unbelievable thing. So what happened with the Ksonis Pasim? Netutze Shimshon says the problem. Shimshon Astropol, you have to listen to this. This is a crazy one. 6 days out of the week, the Netzitzit Shimshon says, 6 days of the week we're not on a very high madriga, not on a very high level. In order for us to daven and for our tefillos to be heard, we need a melech. We need a malach who's able to take our tefillos and place them down in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say to Hashem, please listen to the tefillos of Klal Yisrael. We need someone doing that for us. Now, the malach that's in charge of doing that, his name is Metat. You're not supposed to say his full name. His name is Metat. It's a lower level where a malach doesn't pull you. By the other nations of the world, all their tefillos all go through malachim. That's the malach that's in charge, the sar of the other nations of the world. Elisha ben Avuya saw him. Metat is an unbelievably high malach. They say he's Chanoch. They say unbelievable things about Metat, about how high Metat is, how great Metat is. Metat is in an unbelievable high madriga. He writes down the schuyas of Klal Yisrael, all the good things that Bnei Yisrael do. He writes down all the schuyas of Bnei Yisrael. He's the Sara Olam, the Sara Panim, brings it in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here's what they did. Please listen to their tefillos. Please do everything that they want. That's what you say during Slichos. Anybody remember this line? Malachei Rachamim, Mishor Seyelion, Chaluna Pnei Elyon, Malachei Elokim, Mishor Seyelion, Chaluna Pnei Elyon, Ulai Yerachos Ani Amani Vavion, Ulai Yerachem. You know that one? That's the Malach. This Malach that you're talking about is Metat. We're asking Metat to be able to turn himself around, to be able to do things for us. Please allow a Kadosh Baruch Hu to listen to our tefillos. That's what we're asking for. But on Shabbos? Listen what happens on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we don't need a malach. We go straight to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're banim, we're children of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We go straight to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We don't need a melech. There's no malach in between. Metat does absolutely nothing. We're misyached straight with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to this. When Yosef HaTzadik was around, he was known as the Tzadik Yesod Olam. Tzadik Yesod Olam, when there's a Tzadik like that around, it's like it's Shabbos all day long. It's like a Shabbos all day long. The tefillos of Bnei Yisrael, the children of Yaakov Avinu, of all the Shvatim, went straight to a Kadosh Baruch Hu without Metat. There were no Meshorsim. There were no helpers. There was nothing else that was needed. It was like it was Shabbos. The tefillos went straight to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And thus there was Shefa. There was Parnassah. There were unbelievable things that happened because their tefillos were straight to Hashem. They went straight to Hashem. There was no in between. There was no pause. There was no anything. It went straight to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But they felt the closeness of the Shekhinah. They felt that the Shekhinah was with them at all times. But when they sold Yosef, something went wrong. They felt that the Shekhinah left them. And they couldn't understand why. They couldn't get it. They didn't understand. They said to themselves, I don't understand. We thought we were doing the right thing. They had Ruach HaKodesh that they were doing the right thing. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them down in Mitzrayim. And there was something that went wrong within their system, which they said, oh my gosh, there was a little bit of gaiva here. A tiny little bit of taiva. Tiny little bit of kina. There's something wrong here. There's something that we did wrong, and we don't know what it is. They felt that their davening had to go through mitat. Had to go through the malach called mitat. They felt there's something missing. That's why they sent the cloak. By Yeshalchu is davening. They davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They sent out their tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the problem was they needed a ksonis. A ksonis is a shirt. It's a lavush. They couldn't send it straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't going straight. They needed to wrap it up in something and give it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Malachim. Through Malachim, that's pasim. I said last week in Eretz Yisrael that pasim stands for a shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Pei Samach Yud Mem. That name, if you look through Birchas Kohanim, you know in the Art School Sitter, they have those names that you can't read, just scan with your eyes. You ever see those names? Just scan with your eyes, it doesn't give any kudos. One of those is Pei Samach Yud Men. That's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what it's supposed to stand for? It's supposed to stand for the following Malachim. Paskon Sigron Yehu Metat. That's Paskron Sigron Yehu Metat. That's supposed to be Pasim. I don't know what the first Pesach is. I have absolutely no idea. What they realized was that the only way for their tefillos to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by sending it through a ksonis of Pasim. By sending it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through other things. That's the whole idea of what it means in the beginning of the Pasuk when it says Behu Nar. That Yosef Tzadik was a Nar. The Nar is Metat. Metat is always known as a nar throughout the Gemaras when it brings out Chanoch. Chanoch, who became Metat, is known as a nar. That's what it refers to. It refers to a certain level. I'm sorry? The problem is that they knew there was something wrong. They weren't sure if bringing Yosef HaTzadik back was the right thing. They knew something was wrong. They knew something was wrong. But they knew that Yosef HaTzadik was the issue. They didn't know if Yosef HaTzadik was supposed to be with them or if Yosef HaTzadik separate from them was greater. They didn't know what to do with. And they couldn't go to Yaakov Avinu because they had sworn that they weren't going to tell Yaakov Avinu what they did. They weren't sure what to do, so they waited for a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go after Yosef HaTzadik. They waited 22 years for that sign. 22 years for anything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, some type of Ruach HaKodesh, some type of Nebuah of what to do. And that happened when there was a Rav. Where does a Rav come from? From a lack of Shefa on Parnassah. Because at that point, their tefillos had gone so far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malach that was bringing it up was so far separate. It was Kilu, they were so far from the Shekhinah that Shefa couldn't come down to the world. Their tefillah wasn't working as powerful. And therefore, there was a huge Rav that happened. It was a massive hunger that happened. So because of that, there were major issues. Major issues. At that point, that's when they realized how it's time to go after Yosef HaTzadik. That's when they went down to Mitzrayim, they looked straight for Yosef HaTzadik. They went straight to the Shuk Shel Zonos because they thought that's where Yosef HaTzadik was. They couldn't understand where Yosef HaTzadik would have been. They couldn't fathom that he was the king. And Yosef HaTzadik had the ability to hide himself, to turn himself behind a mask, so to speak. But he's not Garrett Flo. He was able to look strange, able to look like a stranger, able to look like nobody, like a piece of garbage.
Years before, he told him that was going to happen.
Who?
Yosef told him in the dream.
That they were going to bow down?
Yeah, he said it. So they, I mean, it's not their fault.
It's very easy to know things in hindsight and realize that this is what's going on. Oh, they're bowing down to a guy 22 years later. It must be Yosef HaTzadik. Only in hindsight do you realize that. Once you're doing it and you see that he's a king who's in charge of the nation who doesn't look like he's your brother at all, and you have Ruach HaKodesh, you're dealing with people that are Nevi'im with Ruach HaKodesh, with everything good. These people don't do things that are off. There's something wrong. And they couldn't figure out exactly what it was. So let's try to understand how that applies to us. Everything that happens to the Avos and everything that's written down in the Pesukim brings back to our generation. It has something to do with us. The question is, what does that have to do with us? The Chafetz Chaim always goes into Ma'aseh Avos and Labanim. How it applies to us in our days and what we do nowadays. Everything that happens, it's all to us. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Yosef is the most beloved son. All the other people are there, but he's forced to leave his father. He has to leave all his other brothers. He's forced to be sent into exile, into a land where everybody hates him, where nobody wants anything to do with them, where they throw him into jail, they throw him down on the ground, and there's a lot of taivas. There's a lot of crazy taivas, and people chase after him because he's so beautiful. He has a beauty that nobody else recognizes, nobody else can see. But the evil people still hate him, they want to have nothing to do with him, and they throw him into jail for quite a long time until he proves his worth. shows that he is worth something, that he can do something for everybody else. He shows that the captors, those people captured him, should bow down to him at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, he is the most powerful man. He is the most powerful man. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Yosef HaTzadik represents all of Klal Yisrael. The Shvatim represent Ami Haaretz. The Egyptians stand for all the nations of the world. All the nations of the world. The real story is between the Talmidei Chachamim and the Ami Haaretz of the world. The Ami Haaretz are represented nowadays as people who think they know what they're talking about, but they have no clue. The majority of Judaism. The majority of Judaism. Who says, look, we're still Jews. We still got everything going. But they don't get the concepts. They don't get the concepts at all. They're Tinoki Shinishpa, and there are people out there that still think, even though they're Tinoki Shinishpas, they mamash know nothing. And they're not going to be punished for what they do in Shemayim, according to what we understand. Because they're Tinoki Shinishpas, they just don't know. They're still considered in the realm of Ami Haaretz, and they still, what they do is they say to themselves, we know better. Or at least we know the same amount as those Talmidei Chachamim. We're just as good as those Talmidei Chachamim. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives them signs. Because the way that you want to go, B'derash Adam wrote to Leilich, Malichanos, Malichanos, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you want to go this way? Kadosh Baruch Hu will give you all the good stuff that you need to live a good life, so you're all happy, so that in Shemayim and Olam Haba, it's not going to be the same. That Olam Haba is not going to be the same for you. Because you deserve a lot of Olam Haba. You did a tremendous amount of good things during your lifetime. Even these people did a lot of tremendous things. Even the Reform rabbis who send their congregants into the worst things ever and tell them things that they think is pure Judaism. Even those people who grew up from knowing that what they're doing is wrong. Knowing that what they're doing is 100% wrong. We're not talking about people who grew up in a different way. Again, Tino Kishinishka, but we're not dealing with. Guys who know that what they're doing, they're missing something. There's something wrong. They're not doing everything correct. That's the Shvatim. They sell Yosef HaTzadik. They think that Talmidei Chachamim are a bunch of nobodies. That the Talmid Chacham is really a Rasha. And the Talmidei Chachamim hide themselves. They hide themselves. And something's wrong. But at the end of the day, the Ami Haaretz are going to realize that they're the fools, that they're the ones who are wrong, that the real people, the real people behind Judaism are the ones that they've been laughing at, the ones that they've been throwing garbage at, the ones that they say are full of garbage, that they don't know anything. Those people are going to be the ones up on top. It is such a hard line. Such a hard line to be able to understand, just to be able to say within Ami Haaretz and Talmidei Chachamim, to be able to sit there and to say to yourself, we're looking at an Olam Hafuch. At a world that is completely the opposite of the way it should be. The people that should be on top, no one knows who they are. People look at Rebbe Yashiv, they think they hear things that came directly from his mouth, but never did. They came from other people who want him to, a political leader, whatever it is, that came from his mouth. And they say, that piece of garbage. Chassid Shalom to say such a thing. Piece of garbage. Why doesn't he make a machal? I saw him last week, I'm sitting there, I'm talking to guys, and they're like, why wouldn't they make machals about these Shabbos things? And people are driving on Shabbos, and there are people that get up and make machals. Why don't the Gedola make a machal and tell people that you can't make a machal on Shabbos? I said, I don't understand. Why would you expect to hear about this? You don't think that they're going to their congregants and saying it's usher to throw rocks? You don't think that they're saying to the people that will listen to them that it's usher to make a machal and make a chilul Hashem? Of course they are. But what are you going to hear about? You're going to hear about the people that go in and do these things anyway. You're going to hear about the people who just don't listen to the Gedolim. You're going to hear about those people. And what do you hear about? You hear from the people that talk in the name of the Gedolim that say this is what they say. But you're not hearing from the Gedolim themselves. Find the Gadol. Speak to him. Ask him, are you allowed to do this? Are you not allowed to do this? And you'll hear the answer. Because I did. And I can tell you what they say. Of course they're not going to tell you to go ahead and make that machal. Of course they're not going to tell you to make a chilul Hashem in that way. To go ahead and watch a person drive on Shabbos who's Jewish, you got to do something. You don't have to throw a rock at him. You don't have to stand in front of him, you know, with open arms and say, no, we're not going to let you go through. But you got to say to him, it's Shabbos. You got to say, it's Shabbos. And just look at him and say, it's just Shabbos. You know this. Just Shabbos. That you have to do. You have to feel bad. I said to the person who was talking to me on the way back, I said, you're the one who should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed of yourself. That you don't feel like you should make a machal. That you're watching a Jew be machal Shabbos and Farhezer and you're okay with it? What's wrong with you? That's okay? That's fine? You're fine with that? What's wrong with you? How can you let that happen? Do you realize that that person is screaming out and saying, I want to be a real Jew. I want to do the right thing. And you're just not letting them. There's something wrong. There's something wrong here. And it's the Ami Haaretz who are wrong at the end of the day. It's the Ami Haaretz. And it's because you think that you know better, that you think you're looking at everything, you're saying, oh, this is what they're saying, they're God. That's wrong. That's the difference. Says the Chofetz Chaim, everything that happens with Yosef HaTzadik and everybody else is exactly what's happening today. Exactly what's happening today. Forget about 100 years ago when everything was different and they were starting everything else. It's a nisayon. It's a test. And the test is, are we going to look at the Talmidei Chachamim and ask them directly what they say? Or are we going to take what everybody tells us what they say and say, that's fact. Anything they tell, anybody that tells me differently is just lying to me. Find out what the real facts are. Go up to them straight out. Now you can somewhat understand the problem that Chazal has when you get to the point where Yosef HaTzadik goes to Ishus Potiphar, Lasos Tzrachov, to do his needs. To do his needs. And Rashi says two different perushim. Some say that the reason why he went to Ishus Potiphar, he didn't go to Ishus Potiphar directly, he went into the house. Why Lasos Malachto? He had to do his work. He wanted to do his work. He just had to go work. And the work was in the house. He had no choice. She was in there. She was inside there. Well, the actual pasuk says Malachto. But anyway, he went in there to be able to go in and be able to do his work, and he just went in there for some work. Or did he go in because he actually wanted to be together with Ishus Potiphar? I understand. You know who Yosef HaTzadik is. You realize that this guy has been a tzaddik his whole life. He's been a tzaddik his whole life. The pasuk is being made on him that he's an unbelievable tzaddik. Why would you possibly say something bad about Yosef HaTzadik if you have a choice not to? You could say the Lasos Malachto is simply put, he wanted to go do his work. Ishus Potiphar cornered him and said, you have to sleep with me. Cornered him and did that. And Yosef HaTzadik was a crazy type right in the middle of nowhere, and there was nothing that he could possibly do.
It's a bigger deal though to fight when you have the urge versus when you're not.
100%, but why say something bad that Yosef HaTzadik gave in for a second? Why say that about Yosef HaTzadik? I understand, okay, there could be. The good intentions would be, I'm going to work, and he got cornered by a taiva. I hear that. That would be a great shot in the pasuk, and it works out really well. But to say that he went in to go sleep with her, that he went in on purpose, lasso struck of, that he went in to go ahead and do that, how could they say that? Says the Maral Diskin. There's a mistake here. There's a big mistake here. Divrei Torah, anything. Divrei Torah are mevatol mimenu hirhuri zunam. Hirhuri zunus, we should call it. If you want to get rid of thoughts of terrible things, the way of curing yourself from that is by sitting and learning Torah. A person who knows how to learn. That's not something you just sit down and you like read a pasuk and then you battle for 20 minutes. A guy who's really learning Torah, if you sit down, you know what's going on, you figure out a Gemara Rashi Tosfos, you're going through a Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, you're really learning. You're in the sugya. You can't think about anything else. There's nothing else that goes into your head. Nothing else goes in there. The problem is we don't really remember how to learn. We might not have ever learned in our lives. But if you're really into a sugya, you get so into it that you're sitting there screaming out pshat. You get so into it, you're just screaming. You can't think about anything else. I'll give you an example. Give a speech. Speak somewhere. There is no way, in the middle of your speech, if you're into your speech, and you know what you're saying, and you're getting into it, and you're sweating, there's no way you can think about the people in the crowd. You can't. Even if the girls are wearing things that are not proper, you still won't be thinking about it, because if you're so into your speech, if you're sweating, you're looking around, you're trying to figure out what you want to say next, you won't think about the other people there. When it comes to Divrei Torah, it's even more so. There's a power behind Divrei Torah that's so much better. Says the Maral Diskin, when Yosef HaTzadik went in, he meant Malachto Mamish, he went in to go figure out what was going on with his work. He went with Iyun Rav, he wanted to take away all Yoruri's news by going and learning. Not only learning, but doing chashbonos, divrei chashbonos, going over numbers and trying to figure out how this goes to that. And it works. He knew that the only way, he knew he was the only one person in the house, because he wasn't going to go out to the house of idol worship during their day of the Chag, and she was the only person in the house. And there was a problem of yichud. And he knew that. He knew there was a problem of yichud. And he said, I know I can't be in the same house as her. She's going to seduce me. So what did he do? The only thing he could do. If he goes out into the street, they'll think he's worshipping a Avodah Zarah. If he stays in the house, he has a problem of yichud. He has a problem of Gilui Raos. So what did he do? He tried learning. So Lamaisa Ishus Potiphar was extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. Not only in magics and everything that she had, she was extremely beautiful, and she had chayim. and she had an ability, and she was pushing Yosef at that. The Chasam Sofer says she was a Gioris, that she was a full-blown Gioris. She had decided that she was going to be a Gioris. She said to Yosef at that, I'm willing to be a Gioris. She was technically divorced from her husband Potiphar. They were Heterim. They were all Heterim. They were Heterim. There's no question about all this. What? He was a eunuch. And the halacha by a goy is, a get happens as long as he can't sleep with her anymore. And Lamaisa Potiphar couldn't be together with her. So that means that technically we were divorced. They were at Tehrim. They were at Tehrim. But Yosef HaTzadik tried to get out of it. He couldn't get out of it. He couldn't stop himself. So what do you do? What do you do when something like that happens to you? Let's take it to our level. Say, we have a taiva in front of us. There's something there. What are you supposed to do? So this, we have a Rav Shor. A Rav Shor is going to lead us to Hanukkah. It is an awesome shot. An absolutely awesome shot. Here's the pshat. Says Rav Shor, there is the pasuk, Vayima'in. The pasuk says, when Ishes Potiphar kept talking to him and talking to him, it says the word Vayima'in, and he refused. He absolutely wouldn't be with her. Look at the pasuk. It says, Vayima'in and Pasuk Ches, Parak Lama Tes, Pasuk Ches, Vayima'in, and there's a Shalshelas on it. So it goes over and over. It's Vayima'in. Three times. Three times. It's supposed to say the exact same thing. And he refused. Psik. There's a little wall there. Vayom there, and he said, Elisha said to the wife of his master, my master doesn't know anything that's going on in the house. Everything he has, he's given to me. There is no one greater in the house than me. And he hasn't held anything back from me. Except for you, because you're his wife. How can I do this evil thing? And I will sin to God. Two questions. Number one, if that's what he said, then why do you need the psik? If that's the reason why he refused to sleep with her, you don't have to stop right there and then say it. Just Vayima'in Vayomer. That's number one. The first question. Just say Vayima'in Vayomer. That's it. What's the psik for? Why is that line right there? That's number one. Number two. Well, what's the first reason why you shouldn't sleep with an Ish Ish? Because it's a sin. The Chatasi Lelokim. And then you can give any other svara you want. You want logic? Oh, it's my master's this and that and this and then the other. You want to give all that? Very good. But hold on. There's a first part to this that you have to go through first. Says the Sfas Emes, when you refuse to do an Avera, it can be for no other reason other than Yiras Shamayim. You fear heaven. Because God tells you no. It's the only reason you say no. It's not because, oh, I got a reason, I got this and everything. When it boils down to it, if there's a taiva in front of you, none of the reasons that you give are going to be good enough. You can give all the reasons in the world. You can think of 75 different reasons why I'm not allowed to do this avera. Either it's, whether it's nus, or shvichos damim, or gezel, whatever it is. You can think of 75 different reasons, but at the end of the day, you're either doing it or you're not doing it. The reasons mean absolutely nothing. The reasons do nothing for you. I know I'm not supposed to. What if I get caught? What if I already have a beautiful wife? What if I already have kids? What if I'm extremely famous and if people find out about this, it's going to be all over the news. I'm going to lose all my sponsorships. I'm going to lose everything that I have. My whole life is ruined.
They have news in Israel.
Somebody just told me about it yesterday. I just found out about it. Just found out about Mr. Woods. Unbelievable. Cash bonus don't work. When it comes to a taiva, there's nothing you can do. Because when it boils down to it, all you have is your shamayim. Either you're with God or you're against God. Either you're with God and you're going to do everything He says and it doesn't really matter, or you just say, you know what, I got to give in to this taiva. And you, as you're doing the avera, you're thinking of the reasons why you can't do it. You're still doing the avera because the taiva is too great. Yosef HaTzadik said, Es Elokim Ani Yoreh. He said it to the Shvatim. Later on in Parshas Mikra, Es Elokim Ani Yoreh. I am afraid of God. I have Yerushalayim. That's what helped him. The only thing that helps is Yerushalayim. There is nothing else that helps. Adds on Rav Shor. Your Yerushalayim has to be like a wall. It has to be like a wall. It's got to be a full-blown wall right there in front of you. Like Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he saw a person davening. He was right in front. The guy was davening mincha right in front of the door that they were using to go into. I forgot what it was. The Gura convention, whatever it was that Rav Moshe was going into. Rav Moshe Feinstein saw the guy davening, refused to go in, and everybody was waiting for Rav Moshe to go into the room. And it said to Rav Moshe, Rebbe, you got to go inside. Everybody's waiting for you. And he said, how can I go in? There's a wall in front of me. Because a person davening has a wall in front of him for Dalet Amah, or however many it is, you're not allowed to walk in front of a person who's davening Shemoneh Esrei. He saw it as a wall. Says for sure, you got to look at it as if it's a wall. You've got to look at it, you've got to look at an Avera as if it's something that, would you put your hand in a fire? No. Nobody, no matter what a person tells me, I'm never going to put my hand in a fire. A person tells you, put your hand through that wall. I can't put my hand through a brick wall. I can't. I just can't do it. That's what you have to do. You have to make it into a wall. You know what their self-zealous is by day and by aim? It's refraining, refusing to do so. And Dibri Yecheskel says, there's a Dibri Yecheskel, it's a safer Dibri Yecheskel, that you have to say it to yourself three times. And if you say the words, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it, it's a skula that you will not do the sin. It's a skula. That doesn't help every time. But it's a skula that'll help you. You have to say three times, I won't, I won't, I won't. And then you won't. It won't happen. It won't happen. Now, can it happen? Of course it can happen. But it's like a chazakah. But never give reasons. It has nothing to do with reasons. It is just simply put, I will not do it. That's the psik by my aunt. And he stopped and he said, no, 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 no. He refused three times. And then the psik, stop. That's all you need to do. So then it says, Vayomer. So what's the Vayomer? And this, yes, is where you come in. What's the Vayomer? Why say anything at all? Says the Sfas Emes. Ishes Potiphar was L'shem Shemayim Niskavna. She did it L'shem Shemayim. She was chasing after Yosef Atzadik L'shem Shemayim. Says the Sfas Emes, an unbelievable Kiddush. When did he do it L'shem Shemayim? Only after he said this to her. Because he wasn't saying it to himself. He didn't need it for himself. He stopped himself. Vayomer, and he said to her, Alishas Adonav, Hey Adoni, my master doesn't know what's going on. He said it to her. He spoke to her. He went up to her and he said, listen, you can't do this. I'm sorry? Yes. Yeah. She felt, she saw in the stars that she was supposed to have a child through her, through him. There was some connection between her and Yosef HaTzadik. And he had L'shem Shemayim, says his Sfas Emes, it only happened after Yosef HaTzadik talked to her. Because she saw how much he refused to do it. She saw how much Yiras Shemayim he had. And as soon as she saw that, she said, maybe I should have some also. Maybe I should take on. Because only someone who stops himself has the ability to tell that over to someone else. Only someone who refrains himself and says, you know what, I'm not going to do it. That person can go to other people and say, so don't do it. And that's what Yosef HaTzadik did. And Ishes Potiphar was on a very low level. She couldn't be told that it's a sin and then be told a reason. She was on the level where she needed to be told Siva. She had to be told a Svara, logic. Logically speaking, Mrs. Potiphar, you should not be together with me because your husband is my master. And that's not right. That's not a normal thing to do. It's a very, very bad thing to do. Aside from that, it's also a sin to God. It's Shalom L'shem Shemayim, which leads into L'shem Shemayim, because he's not talking to himself. For Yosef HaTzadik, he knew. I won't do it because God tells me not to. But for her, Mrs. Potiphar, let me explain to you why this is awesome. And then, I'll tell you, by the way, there's something called God. And she got it. And she realized there's something called God. There's a L'shem Shemayim involved over here. There's something over here that she has to get into. So let's connect it to Hanukkah. You ready?
Please. But then what happened at the end? He ended up running away and leaving his shirt behind.
He did. She still was doing it. This is way before she actually cornered him in the corner. That was way before that happened. That was just some. And then afterward it says, Vayi kedabro Yosef yom yom, v'loshom ayla lishkavet ol yosimah. He refused. But she is L'shem Shemayim right now. Because she said, I'm doing L'shem Shemayim. It's in the stars. It's in the stars. But Yosef is saying, no, no, no. Vayi kayom hazeh v'yavo abayis lasos mo'achto. At that point, Yosef HaTzadik said, you know what? It is somewhat L'shem Shemayim. There is something going on here. That's where he faltered just a little bit. Why? Because it was Yichud. He tried getting out of it by having Hirhurim entirely of Torah. He tried getting into the Cheshbonos, tried getting into everything else, and he just couldn't do it. Because Yichud is that powerful. You lock yourself up in a room with a girl, so you're not going to be able to stop yourself.
First thing he said to me was, you cannot be in a room with a dead woman alone.
Yeah.
100%.
Such a crazy line. Listen to this. The Yichud is much more powerful. What happens on Hanukkah?
So what happened now in the end? So it's So in the end,
he had the wall. He never slipped. Because he never fully slipped. He almost fell in, and he was able to stop himself because his Yerushalayim was that great. His Yerushalayim was just that great. And here we go. Yevanim nikbitzu alai. The Greeks gathered up on top of me. Azai bimei chashmanim. Ufortzu chomos migdolai. They knocked down my walls. Vitimu kolashmanim, and they were metame all the oil. When were they metame the oil? Only after they broke through the walls, because my wall of Yerushalayim keeps the Greek chachma out. The Greeks don't believe in Yerushalayim. They believe in chachma. They believe in wisdom. Just be wise. Just know everything there is to know. All you gotta know is the chachma. If you got the chachma, then you're fine. You don't have to worry about anything else. There's nothing else out there in the world. So what did they do? They wanted to break down our wall of Yerushalayim. They wanted to throw down the walls. They don't need that. And be metame everything with their chachma. That's their koach. That's their koach. The stronger you make that wall, the less the Yevanim will be able to break through that wall. The less they're going to be able to affect you through that wall. That's a huge level. But you got to have a wall. You got to start the wall. You got to put something up there and say, I'm not going to allow anything to happen. Even Yosef HaTzadik faltered just a little bit. I needed Yaakov Inu to save him. Even Yosef HaTzadik. Even him. That's somebody that we call HaTzadik. Who else do we call HaTzadik? Who else is called that? Binyamin HaTzadik, because he never sinned. Yosef HaTzadik.
Shimon
HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik, who was later on by the times of the Tanoim. We have Noah, who was a tzadik because he was Goder Mi'arayas. We're talking about people who were able to stop themselves. Stop themselves from everything. I'm sorry? No. Does not say it. Does not say it. Different level. Pinchas was also somewhat a tzaddik because, again, he was Goder Mi'arayis. He was able to stop someone. It's just a different level. So what do you do? Says Rav Shor, Ayeya Kedesha Hiboinayim. Where is the Zona? She's by the crossroads. The Kedesha is always by the crossroads. Says Rav Shor, you know what Shapi on the Pasuk is? Kedusha is Talui on the eyes. It's entirely dependent on what your eyes do. The Or Yitzchak quotes down, he gets a couple little things. The Or Yitzchak quotes down, there's only one part of the body. That one speck of sand bothers so much that it can destroy the entire eye, either. Can destroy the entire limb, the eye. One speck of sand can destroy your eye, you can't see well, it bothers you, you're crying, you're tearing. The Or Yitzchak says it. Or Yitzchak, say for one of the Achronim, he's a Chassidic Rebbe. One speck of sand. You know why? Because your eye is entirely Ruchni. Even a tiny bit of Gashmias destroys the eye. That's why the eye has a protection around it, that if anything comes anywhere near it, you automatically close. Anything physical comes anywhere near it, you have to close your eye. Can't come anywhere near it. That's how bad it is. The eye, the Rishis Chokhmah says, is where the neshama rests. Your nefesh is inside your bloodstream. The ruach surrounds your entire body. Says that the Rishis Chokhmah, Sefer of Musar from the times of the Rishonim, the neshama is in your eyes. In your eyes. That's when the neshama is. Kochel Satuma know that. And the first thing they try to get you to do is to look at something tameh. Because everything you see, says the Chassam Sofer, is ingrained inside your brain, and you can't get it out. Everything you've seen in your lifetime is there somewhere. It's there, all the way you are. Yet there's no way out of it. There's no way out of it. The only way to get rid of those thoughts and to never bring them up ever again, says the Chassam Sofer, is to cry. If you cry and you get rid of it out of your eyes, you take it out of your eyes, you're able to destroy that power that was inside your eyes. You're able to destroy the tumah that went in between your eyes. I'm going to give you a line. Hanukkah has a different ability. Staring at the Neros Hanukkah has the same effect as crying. That's the line from Rav Shor. I haven't seen it anywhere else but Rav Shor. I've seen the After Rav used to stare at the Hanukkah lich for 2 hours. The After Rav. He would be mevatel. The After Rav always learned. He would be mevatel Torah for 2 hours to learn. He would prepare himself to look at the Hanukkah lich for about an hour, 2 hours before lighting. And then he would light, and then he would sit there and stare at the lights. What a waste of time. But he did it specifically. He was preparing to be able to be Matar his eyes. He was looking at the Hanukkah lit to destroy any little bit of problem that was in his eyes. I found this from the shore, and I had this vort in my head. I came up with it, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's a real vort. I was in Eretz Yisrael. I was sitting at Merkaz, and I was going through some Gemaras that I had done over Merkaz HaTorah. I was going over some Gemaras that I had. I had a little bit of extra time. Some of the stuff that I had done in the Yeshiva program. And I got to the Gemara that says that Hanukkah lit has to be lit until the Kal Yoregel Min HaShuk. So people stop leaving the shuk. People stop leaving the marketplace. Then I saw, Ad dekalyo rigla de tarmudoy. Until the tarmudoyim are done walking in the shuk. I'm sitting there, I'm like, the regal of the tarmudoyim? Who are the tarmudoyim? Who are these guys? Like, why specifically? I'm so Rashi gives a shot because they were the latest ones in the shuk and whatever. They were there for a little bit extra. They sold wood, whatever it was. But I'm sitting there, I'm like, the tarmudoyim, why specifically them? And then I remember, there's a Gemara, Rav Shura says it. That lamed aleph lamed aleph. A guy is trying to get Hillel angry. It's in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Aleph. He's trying to get Hillel angry. And he goes up to him and asks him a question. Why are the eyes of the Tarmudayim trutos? Why are the eyes of the Tarmudayim really strange? Why do they look strange? Either roundish or slanty, like Kilu, they're Asians. Why are they that way? And you know what Hillel answers him? Bini, Shaila Gedola Shalot, a great question you've asked me. That's what he says. Mivnei Shadarin Bein HaCholos. Because they live by sand. And their eyes need to be in a certain way so the sand doesn't affect them. You know what Shapian the Gemara is? The Tarmudayim? Because the Tarmudayim were the people who looked at the chol. They looked at profane things. They looked at gashmias in this world. They destroyed their eyes. They ruined their eyes. They completely destroyed them. How long do you have the Hanukkah licht? This is Rav Shor's shot. I came up with this, but I didn't like put it together. Rav Shor really puts it together. Yeah, I'm taking a lot of credit for it. How long do you have to look at the Hanukkah licht? You know how long? Until your eyes are purified. They're no longer a dekalya rigla the Tarmudayim. Until the legs of the Tarmudayim, until everything that the Tarmudayim stand for is all gone. When that's gone.
Just a good one, though. I like that one.
Thank you. Everything else?
Yeah.
The idea is that Doran Ben Acholos. Hanukkah is a chiv to light when the tumah is all gone. Until the tumah is all gone. You have to keep looking at them. You got to have that Taurus in eye. Do you realize? Haneiros Allahu Anachnu Madichim. Ein lanu reshus lishtamesh bahem. You cannot use them. Ela lirosan bilvad. The chiyuv of Neros Chanukah is to see them. The mitzvah is the re'iyah. There's no other mitzvah that you just look at and you make a bracha. Look at and you make a bracha. If you didn't, an actual mitzvah that you can make a bracha on and be yotzi the mitzvah. Just by re'iyah. You can make the bracha. If you weren't able to light yourself for whatever reason, you can make the bracha of. You might not be able to make Sha'as HaNisim. You can make Lahad L'Kner, I'm sorry. You won't be able to make Lahad L'Kner, but you can make the bracha of Sha'as HaNisim when you see it. It's because it's all about Taras Einayim. Purifying the eyes. And if you purify your eyes, then you're able to purify your soul. You can make that wall. If you make that wall, you'll be able to say no. You'll be able to say no. No reasons. Just no. Three times. No, no, no. And then things can be good. And then you'll be able to improve yourself. Then you could be like Yosef Atzadik. Then you can make yourself into something different. But Yavon is all about darkening the eyes. That's a different story for another time. Maybe we'll do it next week. Have a good Shabbos, guys.